Today we're going to talk about positive believing and the power that lies within positive believing. And primarily, we're going to pick Hebrews 11:6 and Colossians 2:6 to deal with that. So here's a couple statements as you look on the back of your bulletin. Is this statement true? Can I have a positive or a negative belief system? In all that we understand, my computer works because there's zeros and ones in it. In electricity, there's positive and negatives. In the molecular structure, there's protons and neutrons and positives and negatives. Is it true that in my belief system, I could have either one of those? Do you know people that their belief system is a positive belief system? And do you know people that have a negative belief system? Their natural bent is towards the negative. What I want to propose to you is that there is the possibility, and literally, as you read Anderson's book, he tells you, and I believe it's biblically true, that you can choose which one of these you want. It's in essence the same message as last week, just in a different area, that you really have the free will to choose which one you want. And you can analyze the effects of both and really make a choice. Here's a question that I've been wrestling with for quite a while. What I believe will affect my behavior? Will what I believe affect my behavior? Before I became a preacher boy, I can tell you honestly, I didn't ever really study theology. Once I become a preacher boy and I sit down at these pastoral breakfasts, you would be surprised at the things they ask you. Are you more Calvinistic or Arminian? Are you more a Reformed or is your church? And I'm thinking, I don't know. You know? I don't know. Is that important? Is what I walked from my first three pastor breakfasts, I said, you know, these guys spend a whole lot of time, and actually, here's my real mindset. These guys waste a whole lot of time talking about stuff that really doesn't matter a whole bunch. But as God's Spirit's been working on me, I think that it makes a difference. What I believe will affect what comes out of me when I talk to you on behalf of Him. Which is a really scary thought. That's the one that makes my hand sweat all the time. Is that what I say for Him through me, practically, is affected by what I believe. So it seems critical that I believe what's right and true. And it seems important that I have a positive belief system, not a negative belief system. So we look for a camp director for our camp. You guys realize we own a camp. We need a director, right? We want somebody who has a positive mindset, a positive marketing strategy that can present the strong points, the good points, the belief that God can do miraculous things at this camp like He has historically done. The testimonies we heard last summer were just awesome. So, faith is the essence of life. Is faith important in life? Faith. Is that important in your daily life? How much of what I do is reliant on faith? How much of what you do on a regular basis is directly related to your faith? If Anderson's right, as you read Neil's book, everything. Everything you do is contingent on faith. So what in Christianity is faith dependent? You have major things like maybe salvation? See, the reality is salvation is by God's grace and faith. And the reality is God gave you the faith to believe in the grace. It's all about God. How you respond to God's loving grace is what salvation is all about. How about walking the Christian life tomorrow when you go back into the world? When you're not in church putting Jesus on, right, at a really cool concert, putting Jesus on. But it's Him in you. And it, again, the Christian walk is by God's grace and through faith. And I would present to you Hebrews 11:6. Now, without faith, it's impossible to please God. For the one who comes to Him, God, must believe He exists and that He rewards those who diligently search Him. Let me highlight that a little bit for you. The three words that seem to be important in that verse are faith, belief, and search. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. If there is a God, do you think it's a good idea that you stay on His good side? Right? If there isn't a God, it's probably not worth anything, but I would encourage you to bet all your blue chips that there is a God, and you want to be on His good side, not on His bad side. Does that make sense? How you please Him is by faith. And the one who comes to God must believe that God exists. It's an action step of believing. There isn't just some God out there, but I believe He exists. And as I diligently search Him, I believe His grace will come find me. And the reality is, you can't get anywhere that God hasn't already been first. If you decide you want to search for Him, it's because He's poking you and prodding you and encouraging you to search for Him. You don't come up with it on your own. It's all about Him. And in Colossians 2:6, it says, so then, just as you have received Christ the Lord, continue to live in Him. It's actually Christ Jesus the Lord. Continue to live in Him. What's the essence of that? You receive Jesus by grace through faith. You receive His atoning work. And that's still the way you live out the whole life, is by grace through faith. Faith is an incredibly important component. Faith depends on its object. So, if this is true, that everyone lives by faith, if that's true, just pretend for a few minutes that it is. The only difference between Christians and non-Christians is the object of our faith. Is that logical? Does that make sense? Everybody lives by faith, and it's just the object. So what's some illustrations? You live by faith. Last night I drove home from Des Moines, Iowa, in a beating rainstorm on Interstate 80. And beyond reasonable logic, I was doing 70 miles an hour in a pouring rain and being passed by 18-wheelers. They were going faster than 70 miles an hour. And literally, when they passed me, I could not see anything. It was like the NASCAR racers complaining last Saturday going into the corner in the sun. Well, you can't see anything at 200 miles an hour. It's exactly what I felt like. And by faith, I just believed that there wasn't anything laying in the road in front of me, because if there was, I was going to hit it. There was no place to go and no time to see it. By faith. Jackie, did you know the electrician that hung that paddle fan above your head? That thing weighs over 50 pounds. And they say, put them in with a strong support structure. If that goofball put that box up there with a nail, any time it could come down. And if this church is old enough they didn't use screws, who knows the people that laid the floor trusses that we're sitting on? How many of you know the guys who laid these floor trusses underneath of you here? Clarence? You sit here by faith. That's going to hold you up. It's just amazing how many things we do by faith. I mean, we drive up to a drive-up window and get something to eat out of a bag, and you have absolutely no idea who made that back there. Or when the last time is they washed their hands. Right? And this is a good country. You should go to Africa. You can see. Their hands are black. You don't. No matter how much they wash them, they're always black.
They're
right?
Black.
Yeah. You know? Thailand. Right? You got to see the water system in Thailand. It's by faith you take a drink ever. You take a breath by faith. Everything you do by faith. You put faith in people who made your car. Who made your house? You put faith in people who are driving the car in the other lane. Some days I wish it was really nice if they had a big wall between there. You know, so keep the idiots on that side. And this, you know, there's idiots who drive. Some people say I'm one of them. But there's lots of illustrations, isn't there? When you really think about it, everything you do is by faith. Every breath, every drink, every step is all by faith. You know? So, how much faith you have is dependent on how well you know the object of your faith. If you want your faith in God to increase, then it seems logical you must increase your knowledge of God and His Word. The better you know God, the bigger your faith. Now, I'm not saying that you should learn more things about God out there, right? Have all this intellectual head knowledge. You need to know God better personally. Helping to do that is studying about who He is and reading His love letter to you and be involved in that. But it's not to become smarter or more knowledgeable. Knowledge was the original sin. Relationship is what they lost. When we talk about knowing God better, it's knowing Him better personally. Julie and I were coming home from that wedding. She was telling me that we're 36 years into our marriage now, and I know her a little better than Brody knows Heather, right? They're waking up for the first time together. I've done that more than once in 36 years. I know her better. And we should get to know God better, and that'll help our faith. Faith is actually an action word. Everything you do is essentially a product of what you have chosen to believe. The one who believes will affect what one believes will affect one's walk. So, I've already made that point, right? That what you believe will affect how you live out your life. Behavior and belief work together. And Anderson builds a really good case that we can win that battle or lose that battle in our mind, which is a message that's coming up soon. Here's J.C. Penney. You guys ever bought anything at J.C. Penney? Here's J.C. Penney quote. Whether you think you can or whether you think you can't, either way you're right. If you think you can, you're right. You can. If you think you can't, you're right. You can't. See, I tell you all the time, as a preacher boy pastor, I have no idea what I'm doing. And quite honestly, I email people all the time to ask for help, and no one's responded back, you know. So I still have no idea what I'm doing. But I firmly believe with all my heart, because God called me to do this, He can do it. We will do it. Him in me and Him through me. I don't know what I'm doing, but He certainly does. I can do this even though I don't know how to do it. Does that make sense? So, someone else had said, success is bought in cans, failures in cannots. If you're playing basketball, if you take the ball and you think you're going to miss, what's the odds you're going to make it? If you think you can, what's the odds you're going to make it? I listened to a fascinating interview with Tiger Woods on 60 Minutes last week. And Tiger Woods says, I play golf, but that's not who I am. Who I am is not a golfer. And I'm thinking, what? This guy's on the golf course 12, 14 hours. He is unparalleled, the best golfer that they've ever kept records of. God probably knows there's better ones before they started keeping records, but that's not his identity. But when he goes on the golf course, he believes he can kick the other guy's butts. He says, I don't want to just win. I want to kick their butts. I believe I can. Subsequently, he practices 12 or 14 hours a day. And then after he's done working, he goes out and plays just a little bit on the golf course just to have fun. Right? When you believe you can make the shot, you have a higher percentage of doing it. When you believe you can lose that weight or gain that weight. When you believe that little baby that comes can survive. And you're the parent, or you're the grandparent, or you're the great-grandparent. That has a positive impact on it actually happening. I go to the hospital all the time and visit with people who believe they get lousy doctors and believe their doctors are going to do a lousy job. Subsequently, they go there more than I do. Have you ever noticed that? That the people who believe they get lousy doctors get lousy doctors? The people who get messed up doctors end up getting messed up? Have you ever observed that? And the people who believe God's going to give them a good doctor, believe they're going to heal, do. It's about what goes on inside us. Believing you can live the victorious Christian life takes no more effort than believing you cannot. Does that strike you? Believing you can live the victorious Christian life takes no more effort than believing you can't. Believing you're going to fail at your Christian walk Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday takes no more effort than believing that you can succeed. Think about it. It's the same. And actually, believing that you can live it is God-empowered. He wants you to succeed. Remember that Bible verse we read last week? He wants you to be blessed. He wants you to be sanctified. He wants you to be found blameless. He wants you to win. It's only you holding you back. It's kind of funny. When you read Anderson's book and you see a bunch of those diagrams, they look a lot like the ones that Bill puts up here. Years ago when he was teaching in seminary, one of his college students went to one of our conferences and came back and turned in a seminary paper with these hand-drawn diagrams that he had traced out of our materials. And for years, Anderson put them in his book thinking that his college student had come up with these ideas. Years later, Dave Ritzenthaler sat down over breakfast with Neil Anderson and showed him our diagrams that pre-existed before his stuff. By Jiminy, he said, that's where that student got those. Victorious Christian living, where did these ideas come from in Anderson's book? They came from the same ministry that I work for. How cool is that? Now, Paul, when he writes to the Corinthians, we read this the other day. How did he address them? He called them believers. 14:22. So then, the gift of speaking in strange tongues is proof for unbelievers, not for believers. While the gift of proclaiming God's message is a proof for believers, not for unbelievers. See, it's not just the Muslims that say you're either a believer or you're not. You're either an infidel or you're a believer. It's not just them, it's us. We define who we are in the purest sense, not as Christians, not as united brethren, but as believers. We are believers that Jesus Christ is the atoning sacrifice. We are believers in His resurrection. We are believers in the empowering of the Holy Spirit. Primarily, that's your identity. You're a believer. You're a worshiper. So, God loves you just the way you are. The primary truth you need to know about God and your faith to remain strong is that His love and acceptance are unconditional. God's love for you is the great eternal constant in the midst of all the inconsistencies of your daily walk. God loves you unconditionally. So, God is love. God loves you not because you're lovable, but because it's His nature to love you. No matter what you do, how you fail, God still loves you because the love of God is not dependent on its object. It's dependent upon His character. God's nature is to love you. He doesn't love you because you do well. Remember what pleases Him? It's not how well you do. It's that you believe in Him and you put faith in Him. That's what pleases Him, is that you trust Him as a Father. It's not based on how well you do. It's based on who He is. And He makes you one of these people. So the conclusion is, how will you respond to God's love? God does love you. Will you respond in belief? Will you get to know Him better? Will you trust Him more and yourself less? That's the conclusion. Will you trust in Him more than you do yourself? Will you put more belief in Him?